basking. Let's give the Lord a hand. I sometimes wonder why I would come up and speak when we could just stay in the presence of God and just enjoy His presence. But I have a word. I'm an encourager, and I want to encourage you today. How many could use some encouragement? Could I have a show of hands? Show me a hand if you need encouragement. How many don't need encouragement? No, don't. Just. You know, we live in a complicated world, right? And there's a lot coming at us all the time, and there's lots of pressures and lots of challenges, and it's crazy. How many realize it's just crazy out there? And it's peaceful in here. How many just, I love to call our devotional life, time alone with God, as surrender land. It's a place in Him that we're safe. You know, there's not a lot of safety out there. Everything is coming at us. It's pressure. It's trying to challenge us in so many emotions. But in Him, we're at rest. Yes, amen. I wonder how the Apostle Paul could go through everything he went through. He lived in surrender land. He lived in a bubble of grace. He lived in an anointing that abided, that allowed him to move through every kind of possible circumstance with the right perspective, right mindset, clear mind. How many get in a situation and you're not in the right mindset? Could I have a show of hands if that's you? Just lift your hands. If you, even this week, you felt like you were going crazy, like, wow, no, lift your hand up. No, this is, you lifted your hand up really quick, so I appreciated that. No, we're in this battle, and I talked about that last time. I'm going to talk about some more about that, take a little different tack, but we're in a challenging time. But I wanted to honor first your pastors, David and Bobby Clear. Now, come on now. And I wanna do something this morning because I believe none of us, unless you have pastored, can understand the pressure of being at the tip of the spear. Yeah, I was a dentist for 35, six and a half years, and 40 years, retired from that 5 years ago almost now. And I used to meet with a dentist every single week on Monday morning before we tried to do another week of dentistry, because only another dentist could understand the pressure that the dentist was under. We met together faithfully till COVID for almost 40 years together, 36 years or something. And then things switched up, but we talked yesterday. And I'll tell you, just spending that kind of time with that person made the difference. Now, I want to say to the church that God has called you as a light on this hill. He's called you as a light in darkness. I've only been here twice, but when I drive up here, I think, wow, God set you on this hill. He set you up here. You just didn't get here. 1965, I don't know what year did we come up here. 84, but this church started in 65 with David's mom and dad and pastored until 2003. I got that right. So, and I've just been pondering that because being here last time, I felt so connected to everybody, so close. God's up to something right here in the Dalles. He's up to something. Now, we know there's a foe that tries to come against us, and I just want to honor your pastors. And I want to believe God this morning wants to pour out a fresh horn of oil. Thank you, Lord. To break off any fatigue or weariness, or we're in a complicated battle, constantly moving the kingdom forward. We're not the first generation to do it. Trust me, the Lord's had His soldiers in line for a long time, but we're here for such a time as this. This is our moment to shine, our moment to be the light on a hill, to be an impact in this area, in this region, for right now. And I believe God wants to anoint us afresh for that. How many are open to some fresh anointing today? It's not by strength or might. It's not the speaker up here or anything like that. It's the Spirit of God. It's the anointing of God, the cloud of God, the presence of God coming to you through His Spirit to anoint you with, with strength and courage and faith and desire to go the long haul, to move forward into what God has. And how many have felt like sometimes you want to shrink back a little bit, like there's a little weariness that tries to get in, or a little bit of fatigue, or I don't know, or I get confused, I get out of perspective, and then it gets kind of cloudy. Today, God wants to anoint us. So as they stand up, I just want us to stretch out our hands to your senior pastors in honor of their position and in honor of their lives, laying it down in this season. And then as we pray, just receive a fresh anointing. Just trust the Holy Spirit right now to blow upon us, all of us, afresh in this season, to pour out upon us what we need for right now. We're thankful for what we had in the past, but we need a fresh anointing for right now. So just stretch out your hands. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for David and Bobby. God, we thank you for pastors David and Bobby. God, we thank you for the anointing that abides. And Father, I just sense even right now that there's a fresh horn of oil. Wow, fresh release of your presence. God, like the filling of the lamp. God, let the wick be trimmed and let the lamp be filled. God, I just pray that anything that's burnt, anything that's been already accomplished, Lord, would be trimmed off, would be anything that would try to come against their heart or their mind, even right now. Lord, let those things be bound in the name of Jesus. Wow, I just sense you should stand up. If you can, just stand up. I sense there's such a grace coming on this moment, such a clear anointing that's present here for you and for them and for this church. So Lord, we just come. We're humble. We open up our heart to you. God, apart from you, the word of God says that we can do nothing. God, we come to lift their hands. We come to lift their arms. We come to come under them. We come to stand with them in this season. I see a breaker anointing upon them. I see the power of the Holy Spirit. God, I see you clearing away any cloud or fog that would try to come against them. God, I see your presence, your abiding presence, anointing them, favoring them. And each person in this room, Lord, we're receiving that fresh oil, that fresh anointing, that fresh grace for this season. Lord, we believe that you're binding the spirit of darkness, that you're breaking the assignment of the enemy. Things that have tried to come against the mind or heart of the people of God. We believe that there's a trickle-down anointing even right here, Lord, that each one of us are receiving a grace today, a covering, a blessing from you, an anointing. Lord, I pray that you would just shine upon them, shine upon each one in this room. God, we ask that your presence, God, would be such a light on this hill that it'll draw people from the north, south, and east, and west. You're not done with this church. I just sense you're just beginning. Lord, this is like a brand new beginning today, like a fresh start. Lord, there's a breaker anointing here to cause a going forward. We declare, Lord, your word, that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And whatever these temporary light afflictions are, they're temporary. We focus on the things unseen, not the things we can see. Because the things we cannot see are eternal. And so, Lord, we're focusing on you, God. You're high and lifted up. We felt your presence in here as we worshiped. We love you. We just confess our love and our adoration. God, that you're our comforter and strength. I just believe, Lord, that the best days are ahead for this church. Get ready, says the Lord. Get ready. Get ready. I'm doing something new. Let's give the Lord a hand. Woo! Woo! God is so good, and I'm so thankful. I just sense something happening in the Spirit. Something fresh and new. When I speak, I always have to wipe my nose. Sorry about that. I want to talk today about the winning the battle for your heart, and it's kind of a continuation. I'm so committed to your heart. I'm so passionate about what you think, feel, and decide, because that's who you become. And so this is so important. Our heart is such a critical space within us, and I want to talk about it because it's so important. It's so critical. How many had some negative thoughts go through your mind this week? Could I have a show of hands if you had some challenging thoughts? Well, I'm so glad we're all in this together. Let's give the Lord a hand. He helps us with those negative thoughts. We have a responsibility in it, but we sense God's up to something, and he's giving us his strength. He's not giving it through our strength. He's giving it through our weakness, Paul said. When you're weak, he is strong. I remember I was leaving Starbucks one day, and I was having my devotional time, and I was leading, and the Lord said, you want to know what everyone has in common? I said, I would love to know that. Maybe I shared this last time. He says, everyone's frail, fragile, and insecure. And I said, oh, that explains everything. I said, now I know why he does that, why he does that, why he is. I mean, just like, it all made sense. And Paul was saying, in my weakness, I am strong. Jesus told him, that's where the grace was. And it's so powerful when we understand this. In our weakness, he's strong. He's doing something. And I had four thoughts today that I wanted to share. And I wanted to open with first thought with just a prophetic picture. But I want you to think in terms of drawing close to God. Drawing close to God, drawing near to his heart. How many have a desire to draw close to God? How many feel like there's been some blockages to drawing close to God? Lift your hand if that's so. The enemy is warring against us drawing near. If you thought, oh, tomorrow I'm going to get up and meet with the Lord, think about, and you're thinking about that. When you get up, there's going to be resistance to that, because there's resistance to drawing near. And so what we want, I want to just give you this prophetic thought of drawing near. And we all want an intimate relationship with the Lord, and that we're his kids. And so we want to enjoy that deep and intimate relationship that we can have with our Heavenly Father, with the Lord Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. We want to enjoy that relationship. Before I started meeting with the Lord 17 years ago, my wife told me, you're the most unhappy person I've ever met. And so I realized I was going the wrong direction. I was an elder, and I was a leader, and I did have a business and kids. And she goes, I don't know why you're so unhappy, because nothing's going wrong. Everything's going forward. Why? Well, it wasn't an external problem. It was an internal problem. So our heart is so important. And so I just started meeting with the Lord every day 17 years ago. Changed everything. I didn't change anything. He changes everything. So if you're struggling with your thought, like meet with the Lord every day. That, just throwing that in, because that's what I was talking about last time. And then you try to meet with him, and then all hell breaks loose and tries to stop you from doing that. Because that's what the enemy tries to do. He tries to come between us and the Creator, the one who made us, the one who designed us, the one who empowers us, the one who fuels us. He knows if he cuts us off from that relationship, we'll just dry up. We'll get all crusty and cranky, and you'll be like me, the most unhappy person that she had ever met, you know. And so it's about drawing off the presence of God, the power of God, the love of God. Now, there's a picture in the Bible of closeness, and I wanted to share this with you because I just see it as a picture, like a prophetic picture. But I don't know if we've ever thought of it that way. And it's in John 13, 23 to 25. It's in the upper room. And it's before Jesus is taken. It's before that he goes through all that he's going to go through. He's in the upper room with the disciples. And he's washed their feet. And so it's this intimate moment of foot washing. And there's this servanthood that's being imparted. And all the things that are happening in the upper room with Jesus there. And then he starts to reveal Judas, who's going to betray him. And so, wow, we're having this intimate moment of foot washing, and there's this betrayal that's happening right in the middle of the Last Supper, right in the middle of the upper room. There's this tension moment. There's this conflict that's happening. But there's one part of this story, and I'm going to read it from the King James, John 13, 21 to 25. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." So this is like a deeply intense moment. That's not my conversation today, but I want you to see what's happening in this moment. This moment is in the upper room, Last Supper. There's the intense foot washing. There's servanthood. There's all these things being imparted. There's preparation. And Judas is in the room, and he's beginning to be exposed, beginning to be identified. Now, here is this beautiful part. It says, then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Sometimes that's just overlooked. Like you know, when they had communion, it wasn't like this. It was more reclining like this, you know. And so I want you to picture that they're kind of like this, you know. They're around a table and they're communing together, and Jesus is talking to them. And there's one in the room that's going to betray, and yet there's one that's right next to Jesus, and he's kind of leaning his head right on Jesus' chest. Now, I think this is so powerful because this is the Son of God. This is God. And this disciple, John, is leaning his head there and resting it on Jesus. Now, is that not a picture of closeness? If there's not another picture. Now there's intensity going on around him. There's intensity that's before him. There's all this intensity, and each one of you have enough challenges in your life. We could just stop here, have a share, we'll pray, we'd be here. And yet we can all lean our head on Jesus. This was a picture of intimacy, a picture of closeness. That's the prophetic picture I want us to see today, that God wants us to be close. Then it goes on to say, now Simon is sitting next to him, or wherever he is. He says, Simon Peter, read it 23 one more time. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. I just want to say this to you, Jesus loves you. Just get that in your spirit. How many have struggled with receiving God's love? Could I have a show of hands? Sometimes that's been a little difficult. Lift your hand up if that's you. So Jesus loves you. He loved this disciple. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask who it was who he spoke. This is kind of interesting because Peter's trying to get the download from the disciple that's leaning on Jesus. And so you got to see this as a close and intimate moment and connection. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, Lord, who is it? Now you just gotta, how many have questions you wanna ask the Lord? Like you need to talk to him about, commune with him, unload to him. This is an intimate moment. And he leans back and said, who is it? I'm telling you, this is such a passionate moment, such a deep and intimate moment, such a close picture. I want to encourage you. This is my encouragement today out of this passage. Draw near to God in this season. Let's draw closer than ever before. Let's press in with all of our heart. Let's go forward into a closer, more intimate walk with him. Let's be like that disciple that just could lay his head and hear the heartbeat of Jesus. I was laughing about this because this whole idea of intimacy, closeness, John's heart for Jesus and all of that. And Susan was, I don't know what possessed me to do this. We were in the house and I said, could you put your head on my, I don't know. Could you listen to my heart? Can you hear my heart? And I had AFib, and I've had a surgery since I was with you, so that's fixed. But she thought I was asking her, could I hear the problem in my heart? Because AFib, your heart kind of beats like a fish on a dock, you know? It just kind of does this, and it's just a crazy thing. And so thank God that's fixed. It's one of my problems fixed. Jesus, thank you. And so she goes, I don't know what she said, yeah or no. I can't remember because it was a while back. And then I said, no, can you hear my heart, like my inner heart, like the deepest place in me? Can you hear it? Because we want someone to hear us, right? And so Susan said, now you're stressing me out. That's right. She wasn't prepared for that. I've never done that before or since, but I don't know. But it's so fit with this thought of drawing close to God. I want to encourage you in this season to draw close to the Lord, to just draw near to his heart. Let me just say this. It's a season of drawing close. It's a season of drawing close. In corporate, in individual, it's just a season to draw close. To open up our heart to what he has for us. To hear his voice. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. It starts with this hearing and then this knowing and then following. Now, Jesus, the second idea I wanted to share with you today is we must understand the function of our heart. The function of our heart. I talked a little bit about this last time, but I want to share it a little bit more, and then I have some other thoughts I want to go into. But our heart is so important. Now, Jesus said in Luke 6:45, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what's inside your heart. So what's in us is so critical. What's going on inside of us is so important that we take a look at that. What we understand, what's going on inside of us. We're not often given very much information on how's your heart doing, how's your inner world doing. But interestingly, appearing in the Bible just a little bit less than 1,000 times, the heart is used more than anything else to describe our inner world, our inner self. It's described almost 1,000 times. The Old Testament word in Hebrew is lev, and the New Testament word is cardia, and it's describing our inner world, where we think, feel, and decide. And so it's so important that we understand this, and it means the center of something or described as the core of our being. So your heart is so important, your inner heart. How many get intimidated if somebody gets close to, you know, one time I was in a room with some single moms, and we were sitting there, and I was sitting next to this person, and I was going to talk about their thought life just in reference to what they were thinking, and I said, today I'm going to talk about your thought life, and the gal goes, ah! She literally screamed. She was right next to me. Scared the wits out of me. Because she thought I was going to talk about her thought life. Now that's intense, isn't it? That's what I was saying to Susan. Can you hear my heart? You're stressing me. But you know who hears our heart? God hears our heart. It's the seat of our life. It's the center of our life. It's where we think, feel, decide. It's the place of our inner desires, intents, motives, integrity, compassion, empathy. However, the most important function to our heart, and this is what I want to talk about. We know it's where we think, feel, and decide, and we can work all day on our thought life, and how many know those thoughts just keep looping like this and coming back, and you try to wrangle those thoughts and take every thought, okay, you're exhausted by two hours into the day, and you're trying to do it in your own strength. The heart, think about the heart, the center of us, the core of us, the primary reason we have a heart is this. It's to commune with God and experience God's love. That's the reason for our heart. That's why it says keep and guard our heart with all vigilance. I want us to write down, Yes, it's where we think, feel, and decide. It's where we have intense motives and all those things and put the whole list down and be real intellectual about it. And then at the end of the day, you forget to say it's the place where God wants to commune with you. Where he wants to know you. Where he wants to love you. Where you can experience his love at the deepest realms of your being. And feel that security and that sense of well-being. Now, it's where we can host the presence of God. We can host his presence in our heart. Where we can experience the depths of his love at the deepest level. Let's read Ephesians 3, 18, 19. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. I just want to encourage you, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Say that with me. God loves me. No, say, God loves me, and he has a wonderful plan for my life. That's defeating some negative thoughts right there. Let's say it again. God loves me, and he has a wonderful plan for my life. Now turn to someone else and say, God loves you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Let's say it again to somebody. Turn to a different person. Say, God loves you. And he has a wonderful plan for your life. I'm telling you right there, that is defeating negative talks. How many heard the opposite of that over this last week? I'm telling you, the enemy works overtime to try to defeat us. Now, it's also in our heart is where we experience our Father's blessing, our Heavenly Father's blessing. We experience our Father's blessing in the depth of our heart. Some people struggle with the Father's blessing, but because maybe they struggled receiving acceptance from the Lord because of their childhood. How many had a difficult childhood? Could I have a show of hands if you had some challenges? Maybe you went through traumas, rejection as a child. You felt abandoned by your own natural fathers and you didn't receive his blessing. But I'm here to say you have your Heavenly Father's blessing. I was in a weight room and my son was a wrestler and I was in a weight room. A wrestling room, actually. And of all things, the coach wanted to share with the parents a tape on the Father's blessing. Like I'm thinking, I'm sitting on a sweaty mat. I was an ex-wrestler, so I was like in heaven, you know. This was a place I liked, you know. And my son was wrestling, and the coach says he wants to share a tape with us. I'm thinking it's a motivational tape, how to fire the kids up or, you know, just be that parent that just drives them. No, he wanted to say that's what he had been and it didn't work. He wanted to share the tape on the Father's blessing, the Heavenly Father's blessing. And when I'd quit wrestling some in college, I called my father I needed his blessing to become a dentist. And when I quit wrestling at Oregon State, and I told him I quit, it was dead silent. And I knew I disappointed him. And I lived with that disappointment for all those years. I'm pretty convinced that why I was the most unhappy person on the planet, because I wasn't living with the Father's blessing. My Heavenly Father's blessing. And so when that tape went on, it talked about Jesus and receiving his Father's blessing before he went out and did anything. And it was by Bill Glass, an ex-NFL football player who went into prisons, and he realized in prisons there were two reasons. There was one central reason that those men were there. It's that they didn't have their Father's blessing. And he had assessed that without the Father's blessing, you either become an overachiever or you turn angry. And it was strange. I was in that room, and as I sat in that room, just tears, and I heard the Lord say, "You're my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased." And my world got altered inside of me. Something shifted. Something changed. Something. Well, where was that happening? In the heart. That's where we host God. I've been hosting the Lord And that's where he heals us. That's where he restores us. That's where he mends the soul. That's where he does everything he does. It's as we're hosting him. It's as we're receiving him. He's doing the work of grace. And so in our heart, we receive our Father's blessing. So I just wanted to share that today because I really believe that's so fundamental in our life. Now, it says in Ephesians 1:3, I love this verse, and it just says this. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we're united with Christ. So the blessing comes to us because we're in Christ. We're in surrender land. We're in that safe place with him. And there we receive our Father's blessing. There's so much power in this. Just being able to draw near to God, draw close to him. Our heart is such a fundamental place of relationship with the Lord. It's so important. Then it says in Romans 5:5, it says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God, here it is, has been poured out where? Into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So the Holy Spirit is pouring out love inside of our heart, the love of God. He's pouring it out. It defeats rejection. It defeats that harshness that's going inside you. It defeats all those feelings that are trying to war against your heart and mind. It brings forth the life of God. Now, C.S. Lewis said this, and so I want us to think of this, that our heart hosts the Lord. C.S. Lewis said, God designed the human machine to run on himself. So if you're trying to run it, you could stop that. Our life is meant to be run by the Lord. It's designed to be run by the Lord. Now, this is a guy that's a lot smarter than me. He himself is the fuel of our spirits. We're designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on there. There just is no other. Wow, isn't that powerful? Let me just read that first line. God designed the human machine to run on himself. Wow, this is what our heart is designed for. It's just to allow the Lord to fill us and fuel us every day, to be poured into us and to be downloaded to us and to encourage and build up and strengthen us in our relationship with him every day. Now, I wanted to cover third thought. So we're talking about closeness, drawing near to God, that it's a season to draw near. It's a season, John, and it says in James 4:7-8, submit therefore to God, resist the devil and draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Now think about that in relationship, that order. It says to submit to God. How many have struggled with surrender? Could I have a show of hands if that's you? We talk about it. Surrendering your will over to his. Yeah, that's. So we submit therefore to God, and then we resist the devil. There's a warfare over the relationship. I wish just when we submitted, it was easy. Like, oh, got this. That's when the war begins. That's when the tension begins. That's when the pressure begins. And it says to resist the devil and he'll flee. So we've got to fight the good fight of faith. We've got to move into resisting. We've got to, and then it says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Now, obviously, we're near when we surrendered, but there is a warfare that we're facing. Now, I wanted to talk. It says, intrusive thoughts are constantly trying to invade your mind. How many have had some intrusive thoughts that have tried to invade your mind? Just lift it up like high, because it's we're like in a viral. There's so much coming at us. I hope after today you can cut out about half of that stuff that's coming out of you, and you'll probably be healthier. But I'm going to challenge. Can I go into a challenge mode today? I'll just sit down here and be challenged with you like this. If, you know, I always tell the class, whenever we're in a class, easy to teach this stuff, hard to live it. It's easy to get up here and preach this stuff, and then, wow, we got to go out and live it. And then that's the next step. So that's why we come together like this. Because we're all in this together. We are, you know, we're so unique, but we're not so unique in certain ways, but then we're unique in giftings, talents, IQ. I get that. But in some ways, we're all in the same cosmic battle. So I want to talk about intruders of the heart. Things that try to get in there. Things that try to mess this thing up. And I just want you to be open today. There's no condemnation in those that know Christ. We're here to be open books. How many are just afraid if, you know, I used to go up and say, how you doing? Now I like to say, how's your thought life? And I remember on a hot day, a young guy stood back and he goes, yeah, you'd ask, no, anyway, whatever he said. And, I won't go there. It's all about our thoughts. It's about our thoughts. And so instead of saying, when you come to church, how you doing? Say, how's your thought life? It gets in a completely different context for what you want to, you know, then they know you care because they want to know how you're thinking, feeling, what's going on in the heart. Just how you doing isn't cutting it anymore. Because you say fine and then you move on and then no one gets in deeper into the inner place. And so we've got intruders. Intrusive thoughts are constantly trying to invade our heart. I read a book by Craig Rochelle, and he said this in there. He said, we have about 500, now where he got this, I don't know. So just use this as a benchmark, a true reality, whether these numbers are perfect or not. Take it as a generalization. We think about 500 intrusive thoughts a day. We think between 20 and 70,000 thoughts a day. But just think, he says here, we think 500 intrusive thoughts a day, and they last an average of 14 seconds. Wow. If you do the math on that, that's about 2 hours of intrusive thoughts that you have to take captive every single day. That's a lot of thoughts, right? And some of them you park on, right? You, like, temptation is when you park on something and you live it out. Or when God speaks to you and you live it out. It's this warfare. It's this dynamic of pressure that we're under. Sometimes you just think you're cruising. You got airspace. Everything's going good. Next minute you got face to face. It's like warfare in your face. Like, why do I feel so much pressure? And the next thing you know, you're thinking wrong. And it only takes one thought to lead us to destruction. So this is what's so good that we understand this. And so, how is your heart? That's my question. How's your heart doing? And so I'm a dentist, so I did exams. I could never know how much decay was there till I took the x-rays, looked at it, and then we just started drilling and filling. So that's what we're going to do today. It's like drilling and filling. So one moment I was working on the physical teeth. Now we're just working on the soul. Come on, we got to be honest. We hide, don't we? Some guy said we're like posers, you know. We're hiding most of the time. We're afraid of even ourselves and things we do, and so we can open up. I just want, just feel in this new anointing. There's a new openness. Like, hey, could you help me?
Absolutely.
I need your help. We've got to reach out. We've got to connect. Now, these are the. Let's humble and open and be transparent today. Now. Because it says in Psalms 139, 23, and 24, search me, David, oh God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Boy, if there is ever a prayer we need to pray right now, it's that. Point out anything in me that offends you, because if it offends the Lord, it's taking you the wrong direction. There's a cliff somewhere. People of all levels, statuses, there's cliffs. I'm telling you, they just walk right off it. We want the Lord to search our heart, point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Wow, we need the Lord. We need to draw close. Lord, I'm with you. I'm laying my head here. Do you have anything to say to me? I got plenty to say to you. Let's. That's the beauty of closeness with God. He's not condemning us. He's not harsh. We have the Father's blessing. He's not whipping us into shape. He's teaching us. He's training us. He's anointing us. He's gracing us. He loves us. He's passionate about us. So to me, this is exciting. I'm so excited about this. Now, let's look at five potential sins that can draw us away from God. I was thinking of Solomon in writing Ecclesiastes at the end of his life after he had drifted and married foreign women and also partook in idol worship. And I'm thinking, and it displeased the Lord, and I'm thinking, ah! It's called drift.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen all at once. It happens a thought at a time. Drift is real. You got to stay in line with the Lord. I mean, keep that thing just like this. And then when we drift, you say, search me, O Lord, know my heart. Oh, oh, thank you. You know, we have to get comfortable with conviction. How many realize? You're not quite comfortable enough with conviction yet. So let's just get comfortable with the Holy Spirit saying, no. Yep. We want to get so close we hear his voice, but that requires we coming into his presence. And when we're in his presence, there's fullness of joy, right hand pleasures forever. But there he's changing us from the inside out. Now, five things that we need to be aware of. Five intruders. One, pride. How many have struggled with pride in your life? Could I have a show of hands if that's you? Let's just might as well signal heaven and just say, yes, sir, Lord. No one's looking. No one cares. Honestly, we just want what the Lord wants. And pride is such a dangerous thing. Pride's an excessive view of oneself. Feelings of superiority. I think humility is thinking of others higher than yourself. I think there's a counterweight to this. You think you are better than others. You become judgmental and critical. How many show of hands if you're kind of judgmental and critical? You're just like critical to the, as it, I so appreciate honesty, just transparency because, you know, Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction. We don't want that. And a haughty spirit before a fall, and so it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives what to the humble? Grace, favor. Favor on your fight. Favor. We just humble ourselves. The second enemy is lust. Whew! Man, that's an enemy. We just got to say it. Get it out there. It has a physiological component. It has a mental component. It's a driving force. We've got to harness our choices with self-control. But so what is lust? An intense, uncontrolled desire or craving, preoccupied with sexual things and uncontrolled desires leading to sexual sins. We should just say it like it's everywhere. It's like on everything. You can't watch anything, every commercial, it's coming at you from every angle you could ever imagine. So that's an intruder. I want you to think of these things as intruders. They're things that are intrusive. They're parts of our carnal nature that are trying to get a foothold, our enemies, flesh, devil, and world system. So we've got to address these things, expose these things, bring these things out, be aware of these things. So pride is one. And when we're comfortable with conviction, we get convicted at the first thought, not the thought, attitude, motive, down, and then you do it and you say it and then you've done it and then you go, oh, I'm sorry, God will forgive you. But what about catching that thing at the first thought? Well, think of all the heartache that could prevent you from going through. Think back in your life if you had stopped that thought that took you down the wrong road. I'll tell you, it's drawing close to God that gives us this kind of sensitivity, opening our heart up to host the Holy Spirit, host the presence, and then let it work. Okay, our culture is obsessed with this. It's everywhere. Okay, Matthew 5:28, but I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Okay, we know that. Okay, we got that. All right, it starts in the thoughts. That's what the most important thing on this is that these things start with thoughts. Not to condemn you, not to put you down. It's to make us aware of these intruders that are going to try to thwart your advancement. They're going to try to stop you from taking the ground that God's called you to take. And I always say, why would the enemy use anything different if the thing he's using now is working? I mean, if it's working, he'll just keep working it. When that doesn't work, he'll try something else. But the thing usually that works is the thing we've already been predisposed to and is in our subconscious and is working down there deep. All it has to do is come up and manifest itself, and then it takes over. These are enemies. These are intruders. These things are real. They're snaring people every day. Wow. Now, materialism. I think the word is avarice. It's used in the Bible, I think. I can't remember that. Materialism. It's this inordinate affection for wealth and material possessions, often at the expense of spiritual values. It's just a mixed up priority system. It's just upside down. It's thinking that we can actually derive some sense of well-being or worth from something we have, something we achieve, or something we own. Have you ever noticed that it just doesn't work? And if you have more of it, it breaks down. It's more to take care of. Before you know it, you're kicking it. Have you ever gotten a car? I love to buy a used car that's already dinged up. Then I don't have to go through it. Like, buy a new car, smell it, try to keep it nice for the first week. I'm not that neat. And then all of a sudden the coffee spills and the thing. And I always say to people, how long is it going to be before you don't care about that anymore when it's a used car? It went from new to used and you didn't care. You know, I got a big door ding in my car. I walked up to it, just piece of tin junk, this truck. It's awesome. It gets me where I'm going. 2017 Ford F-150 does what it needs to do, but it's tin. It's metal. Man, if we thought we were getting anything from that, that door ding would have sent me over the cliff. It's just stuff. It's, I don't want to say junk, but it's stuff. You know, one man's treasure is another man's, you know, it just kind of keeps moving around. You know, we got to let go of that stuff. Doesn't mean he doesn't want you to have stuff or have that. He just wants it in focus, red hot for Jesus. Using the stuff for the glory of the King. Not building up some false sense of welfare or value or something. Man, we got to attack these things. They're in our culture so thick we drink the water. I don't deal with that. Oh, well, I mean, we all are dealing with it. We're in it. Just making any sense. That leads to greed and the love of money. I think it was Howard Hughes that died paranoid, thick fingernails. He had more money than anybody at the time. Died paranoid that someone was going to take his stuff. He could have funded missionary. I don't know. God knows. God knows that doesn't work. That leads us to an attachment to material things. They become modern day idols. Often we compare and covet what others have. It's a symptom of that. So Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Apathy is the fourth one. Lost interest, enthusiasm, concern for things of God. How many have ever become apathetic or lost interest or just been so discouraged? A guy called me the other day. He was so mad at the Lord. This is just a little thing I want him to do. He won't do it for me. And I'm so ticked off at him. And I listen. I'm thinking, man, that's one of my best friends. Like, what happened to you since I last saw you? But it was coming out. I said, it's okay. It's okay. But he was losing his zeal. He was losing his focus. He was losing, and it was affecting him. So I encouraged him, sent him a couple videos, soulful devotions. I love those. Sent him a video. 2 days later, he goes, oh, I had a encounter with the Lord. I'm doing better. I said, praise the Lord. Leaned on him. Just get there. It's awesome. I was so thankful. Lack of compassion is a symptom. A lack of zeal and inner hunger, lukewarm. in Revelation 3:19, Church of Laodicea, this is such a dangerous place. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Wow. Now, that was number four, number five, and then I'm going to just get started. No, unforgiveness. How many battle with unforgiveness? It's holding on to a resentment, bitterness, and anger, secretly wishing ill on someone who has hurt you. That would be an evidence of holding on to bitterness. Matthew 6, 14 and 15, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So what do we do when we recognize these intruders? What do we do? Do we just think, they're coming from somewhere inside of us, right? So we have to deal with them. So this is my encouragement. When you see an intruder in your heart, don't think, I'll just be better. Don't even think, I just shouldn't think that thought. Right. Start with repentance. Right. Come before the Lord. Bring it to the cross. This is your pathway to transformation. Every time you see an intruder, bring it to the cross. Can't go through the cross. It'll die right there. Right. Then what you need to do after you repent, change your thinking, turn from that, is repent of it, or I mean, first recognize it, number one. Second, repent of it, turn from that way of thinking, and then receive forgiveness, ask forgiveness. Don't just say, oh, I'll get better. That's kind of a self-help thing. No, that thing is rooted in. It's gotta be rooted out. Right. So just ask forgiveness and receive the grace you need. That's humbling yourself. It's so simple. If you did this every day with every intrusive thought, you would start to change so quickly. Yes. It might take 5 or 10 times with that one thing, but you just keep at it. You just keep at it. And watch what happens. Transformation. Fourth thing, resist the enemy. Renounce him. Tell him he has no more authority there. Not on your authority, but the authority that you have in Christ. Amen. And defeat that thing. Amen. Then, replace that lie believed with the truth revealed. Oh man, you were right. Can we have the music back? I love you guys. I love this church. I've only been here twice. But when I'm in the worship service, when you come from the outside too, you feel one of two things, nothing or something. Let me just tell you, when you come into this, no matter how you came in or how you felt, his presence was here. He's here. Because you're hungry, your heart's open. I had 5 practical things we can do to guard our heart every day to protect our heart. I'll just list them real quick and then we'll stop. 1, start your day with God first. 1, I want to say this thought. I do want it to challenge you. Keep your heart red hot for Jesus. Through everything you go through. Because every time you go through something, the enemy's going to try to pour a bucket of cold water on your passion for Christ. Just keep your heart red hot. I like to go out in the backyard and dance. I'm out there because it breaks the power of indifference. Breaks its power. The enemy wants us to get lukewarm or get off track. God wants us to keep our heart red hot. Red hot. I ask people, Are you fired up, stirred up, and red hot for Jesus? I ask everybody that. Start the phone call with that. Getting there. That's one answer. Sometimes it's yes, and sometimes help me. We got to keep our hearts red hot. Passionate love. Two, get a fresh perspective on trials and difficulties. You got to get a new perspective on things you go through. Release to God what is out of your control. How many grab on to what's out of your control and about takes you out? You got to let go. It's called trust. 98% of what we face in life is out of our control. But we can control what's inside of us. That's what we've been given control over. You get to choose the thoughts you think. That's a beautiful blessing from God. Such a powerful blessing to be able to choose our thoughts. Romans 5, 3 to 4. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. There's the perspective right there. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. I've come into a kind of a challenging physical thing. And I do devotions in the morning on YouTube on Be With Jesus 365, and I think I just do it to talk to myself. Because that's what this says. When you encounter these problems and trials, know that they help us develop endurance. That's a perspective. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope in salvation, of salvation. Just keep in perspective. You lose perspective, your plane's going to run into the mountain. You'll be flying down when you need to be flying that way. Can't lose perspective. It comes as we anchor in our hope in Christ. Three, guard your heart and ears from the influence that from what influences your heart. Eliminate toxic influence. I'm going to say that as strong as I can. Eliminate toxic influences. If it's not edifying you and building you up, get rid of it. If you're comparing on Facebook, I know you hear this all the time, get rid of it. It'll take a while to detox. I remember when I gave up the sports section because I idolized sports, and the Lord said, I want that time. I need that. Come to me. I thought I was coming off a drug. Sometimes when you're so addicted to these dopamine hits and they're hurting your life, it takes discipline and the grace of God to break that habit. But I'm telling you, assess what you're listening to, what's coming into your heart, and just get rid of whatever is toxic. Oh, just four, be proactive to take every thought captive. Be discerning to what you think. I'm telling you, if there was ever a season to take captive every thought, it's right now. And we got to take care of 500 intruders every day. Say, I'm a candidate for taking care of 500 intruders every day by taking those thoughts captive. You'll know that when you're meeting with the Lord, you know the difference between an intrusive thought and a godly thought. I used to think this was so difficult. It's not that difficult. And then plant God's word in your heart every day. Meditate on it like a cow chews its cud. Just be meditating on the word of God every day, every day, every day. Do I have an altar time? Do I have a few minutes? The word of God is so important. I want to encourage you just in your time with the Lord in the morning as you're cultivating that time on his chest. Just listening. To have a scripture every day that you just chew on every day. Just chew on. It'll change. You know, the word of God is seed. And when it finds good soil, it will germinate. But if you just think that we're going to read it and then get it, it doesn't work like that. You've got to plant it. And then you've got to water it. And you've got to fertilize it. You've got to give it sunshine. You've got to let it work so that it brings forth. every day. I think that's why I do these devotionals every day. It just keeps me in the Word, thinking, rethinking, thinking, rethinking. You know, I just felt like, let's stand. You know, when the Holy Spirit's speaking, or when I'm speaking, I know the Holy Spirit's speaking. Not just what I say, but He's speaking to you personally. If there's anything in what was shared today, maybe just a heart after God, just a desire to receive His love, the Father's blessing, maybe there's an area of sin you want to overcome. We won't make it specific, but I just want to encourage you to come down to the altar. If there's something you just need from the Lord, something you want to open your heart up to, just want to, something you want to respond to. It just might be one or two. Jesus stopped whole entire crowds for one person. And God's speaking to you, just opening up something in your heart, something specific. Just encourage you to come on down and receive. We're just going to take a minute. Pastor David said I could take a few minutes after 11:30, so I'm just doing what he said. So we don't want to miss this opportunity just to open up our heart to the Lord.